From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome to Cairo Nights. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. It's Monday, and you know what that means.
Behold, a fiendish masterpiece from the bowels of hell. Mondays, boy, I hate Mondays. They make me so steamed. Weekends, I prefer the weekends.
Okay, I don't hate Mondays. I love Mondays. I've talked about this with you guys many, many times. Mondays, to me, are the great reset. It's a super fun, awesome opportunity to jump into the new week. I don't know where I learned that. I probably learned it from my parents. I love you, Mom and Dad. And anyway, Monday's a lot of fun, guys. Anything you can accomplish anything this week. Think about how great that is. I hope that you leave this show 3 hours from now going to yourself, one, that was a great 3 hours. I can't believe that went so fast. I'm going to listen to every minute of that show from now on forever. And two, I can accomplish anything I set my mind to. That's our goal here at Cairo Nights. That's what me and Matt do every single day. We get up and we say, hey, how can we bring these folks stories that are going to make them laugh, make them excited, and feel like I can accomplish anything? Yay! All right, that's a little too over the top. A little Pollyannish? I don't know. Whatever. Okay, first off, since we're going to be Pollyannish to talk about great news, let's talk about a crazy road rage incident. This happened over the weekend. This was around Linwood. There was a guy arrested. This is a really crazy story, and I hope that you this never happens to you. You never encounter this. I'm just going to read you some of these details, and you tell me what you think the heck is going on. A 20-year-old guy was arrested in Linwood for a road rage shooting. He apparently got in an argument with somebody on the road. I don't need to explain to you how road rage works, but he got into a road rage incident. Now, in a normal road rage incident, I hope this is not a drinking game for you, drinking every time I say road rage, because you are going to be drunk. In a normal road rage incident, somebody might cut you off, somebody might tailgate you or flash you the finger. This guy took it a few steps further. What he allegedly did was pull out a gun and start firing at the guy he was in a road rage incident with. This guy then sped off. Thankfully, the driver of the other vehicle was okay. They didn't get hit, but when the Snohomish County Sheriff's Office responded to this, they found bullet holes in the car, so they know that the car was shot at. They then, and this is amazing, they were able to actually find this vehicle. There was a report of what the vehicle looked like, and using that description, less than 24 hours later, guys, thank your Snohomish County Sheriff's Office. They are doing their good job. They got this guy off the street. They actually went to his apartment. They found out where he was. Detectives went to the guy's apartment. They looked in the suspected vehicle because it matched the description. And lo and behold, in the back seat, they found shell casings. And that was enough for them to say, hey, you know, we think we got something here. Let's set up a little surveillance and let's see if it's the guy. He comes out later and they figure out it's the guy. They then arrest him, take him to jail, and they are able to then search the premises to try to get more on this guy. And they find, guess what? You're not going to guess. Machine gun. A gun purchased illegally, converted into a machine gun. This psychopath, allegedly, was on the road with you, driving around in the Snohomish. Think about that. What could have happened? Think of what could have happened. Thank God he didn't kill someone, but he could have. So the Snohomish County Sheriff's Office, they get this guy, they arrest him. He's a 20-year-old guy. They arrest him. They get him into jail. The prosecutor's office and the sheriff's office, they're working together. And they give this information over to the judge. And they say, judge, you need to set a bail very, very high so that this guy doesn't get back out. Clearly, he's got some issues. And we want to make sure that he doesn't get in a position where he can do this to somebody else. So what do you think happens? Within about 30 hours, this guy posts bail for $25,000. A $25,000 bail, what was it? $25,000 bond he posted. And he's back out. Shot at somebody in the car while he's driving. Not just got mad and gave him the finger or a dirty look. As I talked about last week when I was talking about, you know, having road incidents. Sometimes if somebody cuts me off, I'm not going to do anything illegal to get back at them. But I will pull up close next to them if it's legal. And I will kind of give them an eye, you know, like, I know what you did. I'll give them a stern eye. That's about as far as I go. If I'm feeling really, really ambitious, and I'm not worried that they're going to do anything crazy to me. I might point a finger at them and shake my head or give them the tisk, tisk, tisk finger. That's about as far as I go. Is it pathetic? Yes. Do I feel good doing it? Kind of. Does my wife like me to do it? Absolutely not. She thinks it's ridiculous and tells me not to because I'm going to, and she's probably right. If there's people like this driving around out there that are going to fire at you, just stay away. Some psychopath cuts you off on the road. Back off. It's not worth it, folks. Just back off. Anyway, we're going to talk to the Snohomish County Sheriff, Adam Fortney, next. He's going to be on with us next segment. I'm going to ask him to give us all the details on this. One, I want to find out how in the heck they were able to track this guy down in one day and get him off the streets. God bless them for doing that. They're doing a great job. And two, how is this guy back out on the streets? This is crazy to me. Anyway, all right, so we're going to talk about that next, so stick around for that. That's going to be a good one. I want to give you guys an update on another story. Do you guys remember that Dave Portnoy story we told last week? This was a guy who he owns Barstool Sports, and he was asked. He found out that the Washington Post was calling around or emailing around to some of his advertisers for a pizza fest that he was going to do. And this is a big event he does every year, and he gets sponsors and stuff. And then it benefits the local community, pizza shops and things like that. He's made no secret. He's a big fan of small businesses, and he's really put his time and effort into propping up small businesses, especially during the pandemic. And he kind of made a name for himself during the pandemic doing this. And he's very wealthy. He owns Barstool Sports, and they do very well. Anywho, so he finds out one of his advertisers emails him and says, "Hey, Dave, I just want to let you know I got this email from the Washington Post who are reaching out to me and saying some not very flattering things in their email. And they're trying to get us to respond. We want to reach out to you first before we respond to them." And so they sent that email over to Dave Portnoy. Dave Portnoy sees what they're saying and says, "Boy, this seems kind of crazy. They would say these things about me. I'm going to just call them up and ask them questions. They're the ones reporting, but I'd like to know what they're reporting on since I'm the subject of their story." So he was able to get them on the phone, and he gets them on the phone, and thank goodness he recorded it. And this is what it sounded like.
"Hey, Emily, this is Dave Portnoy calling. I'm recording you right now. I've noticed a bunch of people. It seems like you're sending, we have this pizza fest happening on Saturday, and you're reaching out to our advertisers, and you're basically sending an email that says, to the effect, Dave's a misogynic racist. Do you want to defend yourselves advertising at this event, right?"
"I'm sorry, what's your name, Dave? I'm sorry, who are you?"
"I'm the guy you're writing the article about, Dave Portnoy."
"Oh, you're Dave Portnoy. Oh, hey, how are you?"
"Good."
All right, so listen to this part. He has just told her what the email said that he has read, and she then denies it. She said, "No, I didn't say those things about you."
"Good. No, I'm not. I haven't said anything like that.
I can read. If you want, I can read what you actually sent. I have it."
Yeah, read, because I sent a bunch of notes, so I want to make sure I know which one."
"Okay. We are planning to write about the festival and how some of the sponsors and participants have drawn criticism by seemingly to associate themselves with Dave Portnoy, who has a history of misogynic comments and other problematic behavior. I want to make sure that blank had a chance to respond to this, since the company is the most prominent of their partners of his festival."
"Oh, that's the one I sent to, which was definitely the most pointed of them, because I really did want them to respond, and I was hoping to get something from them."
All right, so there's a reason we're telling this story. We talked about this last week on the show, but there's a reason we're telling this story again. We're going to get to that in just a minute. I just want to, for anybody who hasn't heard this is a really interesting insight into the modern state of journalism and how mainstream media works. So Dave then asked her, so we're going to get to why we're telling about this today. So we're going to get to, Dave then asked this reporter, her name is Emily Heal of the Washington Post. He says, "Do you think it's fair that you say those things about me in this email to my sponsors of this event without actually having any proof that those things are true?
Do you think that's fair? I totally disagree with the assertions of what you said, that misogynic and all that stuff. So, like, it kind of backs people into a corner. So I'm happy to go over anything. I mean, you have, that is pretty pointed. You said you didn't do it. Then I have the exact evidence of you doing it. So,
no, I didn't say I didn't do that. I said I did. That was the one that was the most pointed.
Well, no, you that went before I provided proof, you said you didn't really remember doing that. And then I read it to you and you're like, oh yeah, I did it that one time. So you did do it.
All right. So he has her on the spot there. She then claims that she was going to reach out to him shortly, because obviously he's the subject of this piece, which I think a lot of people are saying it's a hit piece. Obviously, it feels like a hit piece. They just called up these advertisers and said, oh, are you guys nervous about being associated with this guy? We're hearing people are saying these things. Well, they're the ones saying these things about him. So she then claims, I was going to reach out to you, Dave, the next day.
To me, nobody would like if someone's going around sending that email to their sponsors. And again, you're not like questioning. You're it's almost like a statement of fact. This is what I am.
Yeah. So I do want to talk to you about this. And I just want you to know that the story I'm working on with a colleague. And I want to kind of loop him on this because we did want to talk to you.
When were you going to reach out?
We were planning on doing it tomorrow morning.
Oh, tomorrow morning. Very convenient. He then asked her to explain why you would take that negative tact with the sponsors. No, none of these sponsors were complaining about Dave Portnoy. Clearly, if they're advertising with him for his event, they're aware of who he is as a person. They may not like everything about him, but clearly they support him enough that they want to sponsor this event. They think it's a good idea for these small businesses. So Dave asked her about that. And he says, can you explain why you wouldn't highlight some of the positive things that I've done instead of this negative name calling that you're adding to it?
I'm more than willing to have an open conversation about anything if the article is not written. I'm afraid with what I'm seeing already here, all it does is it validates a hit piece.
I swear, I have not written the story, believe me.
Have you made your mind up about me?
We're in the reporting phase. I don't, I can't, not for me to say, and I'm working with somebody else.
But that seems like a pretty straightforward question, that have you made your mind up about me? If you can't answer that, no.
I can say I have not made my mind up about you.
Then why would you include that in the email to sponsors?
Because I was hoping for a dialogue with them. You know, it's sometimes you have to say something like, this is like, it's sort of a reporting tactic. When you want someone to respond, you kind of have to indicate that there might be something negative, and then you get them to engage. That's all I was trying to do. I really wanted them to engage with me.
That is a sad state of journalism if that's a tactic that you have to, what I would say is make up something about somebody.
There might be something negative, and so you want to give people a chance to respond and have a conversation with you. That's what I was trying to do.
So, and you hear what she's trying to do there. I suggest something negative, and that perhaps there could be something negative, and then it forces these people to respond. To me, that sounds like blackmail. That's just my opinion. Maybe I'm wrong, but that just sounds like blackmail. So what ends up happening is you can hear there on the call, she wants to talk to him. So they make a time to talk the next day. And he says, all right, I will agree to talk with you guys. As long as you haven't written the story yet, I will agree to talk with you. And you can get my perspective on things since you're writing this piece about me. The Washington Post is a big publication. I want to have a say in that. So they agree to a time. They're going to talk at 11 a.m., I think was the plan, the next day. So apparently, the next day, the Washington Post calls up and they said, hey, you know what? We actually have to reschedule this. We can't do it at 11 a.m. because our reporters are busy doing whatever. You would think they would make time for their subject of their piece. So whatever time they were supposed to meet, they canceled. And then they said, suggest another time, which is at night. And Dave is busy. He's doing something else. So he can't make that time. And then the reporters say, okay, well, we're just going to publish the piece. And they publish the piece without speaking to him after all of that. Now, this video has been viewed like 43 million times, a lot of times. And that was like a day and a half ago. It's probably been viewed even more times than that by now. And, it should be noted that none of the sponsors ended up pulling out of the event. They were quoted as saying some said they lent their name and reputation to the event in exchange for publicity or access to the young social media savvy audience that Portnoy attracts. And some also said that they support Portnoy, who they see as a champion of small business. His pizza reviews, these advertisers say, can increase revenue of up to 50%. That's massive for these small businesses, for somebody to step in and like highlight you like that. And all of a sudden your business goes up 50%. That's a big difference. So that's pretty crazy. Interesting story. Interesting how it turned out. Portnoy actually went into one of these pizzerias that he highlights. And while he was there, there was a New York Times reporter who had come in. I guess they wanted to be kind of part of the story. And he just happens to be there when the New York Times reporter's there. And the guy behind the counter says, hey, this girl's from the New York Times, and invites Portnoy to talk to the New York Times reporter. Portnoy is not super excited about that.
Going? How did it go?
Great. Good.
Hey, man, she's from the New York Times.
That's my idol.
Oh, I just wanted to
pipe. She's probably writing nasty things about
her. The pipe for a pizza.
The New York Times, I guarantee you, is negative. What's that? Yeah, I believe it. She's bad news. I trust
her. She's bad news. Then you hear the reporter laugh. It is a funny thing these days. It does seem like more and more, it does seem like mainstream media outlets are kind of losing touch with the average person. I don't know. That's my opinion. That's certainly the way it seems to feel to me. That's certainly the way it seems to. Yeah, that's correct. I thought I misspoke there. All right. Do you guys know about Senator Menendez? He is the senior senator from New Jersey. He was just basically charged with some possible crimes. He's been accused. There's a federal indictment that was just unsealed on Friday, and it accused the senator and his wife of accepting bribes from three business people in exchange for actions that he took as chairman of a Senate Foreign Relations Committee, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. This is according to the Department of Justice. And the bribes were apparently intended to protect the businessmen and to benefit Egypt. He faces, if he's convicted of these charges, he faces 45 years in prison, which includes conspiracy to commit bribery, conspiracy to commit honest services fraud, and conspiracy to commit extortion under control of official right. And this, let's see here. Senator Menendez spoke about this. He says that it's important for people to remember these are just allegations. They aren't necessarily true.
I understand how deeply concerning this can be. However, the allegations leveled against me are just that, allegations. For anyone who has known me throughout my 50 years of public service, they know I have always fought for what is right. Everything I've accomplished, I've worked for, despite the naysayers and everyone who has underestimated me. I recognize this will be the biggest fight yet. But as I have stated throughout this whole process, I firmly believe that when all the facts are presented, not only will I be exonerated, but I still will be the New Jersey's senior senator.
And I don't know if this is a bad omen. He hired Hunter Biden's lawyer to represent him in the case. Apparently, Menendez hired the same representation the last time in 2015 that he was charged with a similar corruption. So I don't know if it's going to work out for him, but we'll see. As you guys know on the show, we often talk about trying to not be too political. I'm right down the middle. I think every politician on both sides, especially the ones making noise, are just making noise. They're just trying to be famous. They're just trying to be seen and heard. And I think they're all crazy, honestly. Like, I sometimes feel like these guys are all crazy. In this case, this Democrat senator from New Jersey, this is what they found when they went into his homes. When they went into his home, this is what they found. Cash, gold. They accuse him of getting payments towards a home mortgage. They say that there was compensation for a low or no-show job, a luxury vehicle, and other things of value, the indictment said. Federal authorities reportedly found gold bars and nearly $500,000 in cash stuffed throughout the home that they say they can trace back to the businessman Menendez allegedly worked with. When he was asked about the cash, what did Menendez say?
I have withdrawn thousands of dollars in cash from my personal savings account, which I have kept for emergencies and because of the history of my family facing confiscation in Cuba. Now, this may seem old-fashioned, but these were monies drawn from my personal...
I love that. These may seem old-fashioned to you, but this is no big deal.
...personal savings account based on the income that I have lawfully derived over those 30 years.
All right, so we'll see what happens there. There's a lot of call for him to step down and resign. He claims that he's not going to resign, and he still has the trust of the people in New Jersey. But I don't know. We'll see. He claims he's innocent, and it sounds like he's beaten these charges or something similar in the past. So maybe he'll be able to stick around in Senate and represent the good people of New Jersey for a few more years. All right, we got a lot more coming up on Cairo Nights. All right, welcome back to Cairo Radio. I was reading about a story that took place just this a few days ago. There was a Linwood man that was arrested for road rage. Now, road rage is not an uncommon thing. We see it all the time. People do crazy things in cars, certainly. But this guy, he did a few crazy things in his car, much more than just cutting somebody off. And to join us to talk about that, it's Snohomish County Sheriff Adam Fortney. Adam, thank you so much for making the time.
Happy to be here today. Thank you for having me.
So, okay, can you tell me a little bit about what happened? This took place in Martha Lake, is that right?
It did, right on 164th Street Southwest. Yes, sir.
So what happened to this guy? I introduced it as road rage, but it was quite a bit more than that.
Yeah, absolutely. Started as road rage, which, as you already stated, is fairly common. What happened here, I'm glad to say, is fairly uncommon, is that this kind of escalated to a situation where one of the drivers fired shots from a firearm at the other driver. I'm also very thankful that no one was hit. The car was hit, though. So this is something that, as deputy sheriffs in Snohomish County, we respond to kind of after it has happened. We do the best we can based on the information provided. And what we had at this point was a kind of a rough vehicle description that we were looking for.
And what you guys were able to do is then it took you what, like less than a day, maybe a day and a half to find the car?
Yeah, I got to give some props to our robbery and burglary unit detectives who kind of we had a vehicle description to go on, and then they were doing some, they're on another call actually the next morning. So within one day at an apartment complex off of 164th and found a car that kind of matched this description. So they looked into it a little bit more, and sure enough, they saw a shell casing in the back seat and decided, well, we better set up some surveillance on this and see if someone comes out. And that's exactly what they ended up doing, and we got the guy in custody.
That's amazing. I mean, really, truly, when we tell people what he was eventually what they found in his apartment, I think you're going to be very thankful that you guys are so good at your job. So, what did they find? What did you guys find when you went into his apartment and looked through, searched his stuff?
Two separate firearms, one of which was stolen out of a county to the south of us, and so that's a crime in itself, right there. And this suspect had converted one of them to a machine gun, believe it or not.
Oh, my gosh.
You can't have a machine gun in Snohomish County.
No.
So that was illegal as well. So actually, it was a really good find on this detective's part.
Kudos to you guys. And honestly, like, huge applause for you guys getting this guy out of off the road, at least temporarily. And, you know, he's now facing some stiff penalties. What was amazing to me about this story, though, so I'm going to read what he was charged with, and then we'll tell people why I was so kind of taken aback by this story, and I think you probably were too. The man was arrested on three felonies, and if I'm just an average person, and I am, I'm like the most common average person there is, when I hear what he was charged with or arrested with, I go, how on earth is this guy out and about right now? So he was arrested with unlawful possession of a machine gun. Again, like you said, you can't have a machine gun in Snohomish County. A drive-by shooting and first-degree assault, all because of a road rage incident that went very, very badly. And I mean, but also, as you said, was very fortunate that the other driver didn't end up dead. Somebody fires a gun into your car, how is that not attempted murder? Any one of those bullets hits the driver, that guy's gone.
So three very serious charges, right? I mean, one of those is a Class A felony. That means you can still go to prison for that in the state of Washington. And what we have to, I guess, consider is, so I'm in the business of public safety. You're not. And I think we can both agree, even though I've been in public safety for a few decades here in Snohomish County, this is a big deal every day of the week, no matter if you're in public safety or not. And it should be a big deal to the entire criminal justice system. Where I think you're going with this is this person is no longer in jail.
Yes.
And that's what I might have difficulty trying to explain to your audience today, but I'm happy to try to take that on.
Okay, so yeah, that's the part that's the cherry on top, the horrible cherry on top of this awful story. So he's a 20-year-old man. He was arrested for a Linwood road rage incident, and less than 30 hours later, he gets out of jail. Again, he's arrested for having a road rage incident where he pulls a gun and he allegedly shoots at somebody's car. There's bullet holes in the guy's car. He then speeds off, and you guys are able to track down the car, the suspect car, and him, and you're able to pull him in. He's arrested. He then apparently calls a family member while he is being detained. And what happened when he called that family member?
Some of the stuff is unbelievable. So he called the family member while he's in our facility, the Snohomish County Jail in downtown Everett. And we record all jails like they do in every jail in the country. And so we record the phone calls. And he was begging, and I mean begging, his family to go recover the, quote, two items that were in his apartment. Well, thankfully, our detectives did a really good job on this case, and they had already recovered what we think those two items he was referring to were two firearms, one of which was stolen, one of which was a machine gun in Snohomish County. So we had already done all that, but no, he is on the jail recordings requesting that his family go get that stuff.
This is a quick side note, and this is something I'm interested in, because I was having this conversation with my wife the other day, and we weren't sure how it worked. We were watching like a documentary or on something, and they were playing all this audio from somebody's conversation inside a prison, and while he was awaiting trial, or inside being detained while he was awaiting trial. And is that how it works in every one of these cases? Because the case hasn't happened yet, these phone calls are public record because it could be part of the case?
Well, not just mainly for security at the jail. We need to know what's going on, and it is part of the case. Now, I will say this. I'll make this one caveat. Legal conversations with counsel are not recorded. Let's
Correct.
Be clear.
Yeah.
There's a right to privacy there.
But his family members, when he's asking them to go remove guns, presumably, that would be important information.
This stuff happens more often than you would think, but they say a lot of things on these phone conversations, and we don't keep it a secret. I mean, it's posted everywhere that these conversations are recorded, and they all know it, but they tend to still have these conversations.
Oh, my gosh. This is such a crazy story. Okay, so the last piece that I think I was – that caught my eye, he's out. 30 hours later, he's out on $25,000 bail. Detectives asked the court to take the fact that he called his family while he was being detained, said, please go get rid of this evidence. Presumably, that's what he was asking them to do. And then the fact that he had a machine gun and he shot at somebody in the car. Prosecutors asked for $300,000to be set as the bail, and then he gets out on a $25,000 bond. So how does that happen? Like, to the average person, to me, I think that's crazy. How's this guy out and about?
Not your average person or not, whether you're in public safety. I wish I had a good explanation for this. I can't explain some of the stuff. Look, the cops have been under scrutiny for 4 years in the state of Washington, and that's okay, right? Prosecutor's office is under scrutiny right now, just kind of statewide on charging some of these things. I'll tell you this, law enforcement and the prosecutor's office got this one right. We asked for help from the prosecutor's office for a high bail because of the danger to the community. They agreed, so we did our job. The sheriff's office, the sheriff, and the prosecutor's office, we can't control what a judge does. They are independent elected officials. I don't know what was in the judge's mind when he made it. I thought we made all of the right community safety arguments, much in line with the three bullet points that you just said. How about this guy shot at a community member at almost random because of road rage? I'm sorry, but you don't need to be a public safety expert to know that that person is a danger to community safety and should be locked up for a little while with a higher bail.
I totally agree. And you know, if I'm the judge, and again, I'm not a judge, I'm a radio host. Those are two very different jobs. But if I was a judge, I'd be sitting up there listening to this evidence, and I'd be like, all right, guys, you had me at two words, machine gun. You can't have a machine gun. And then this guy's shooting at somebody. I mean, just that to me is enough. I go, let's keep him locked up for a little bit. Let's make this sting a little bit before he's back out there doing God knows what.
We have to have accountability in a civilized society. We have to. And so accountability, part of that, if you're going to shoot at someone in our society, you should probably spend at least a few days in the Snohomish County Jail.
Well, I don't think anybody can disagree with that. And but anyway, Snohomish County Sheriff Adam Fortney, thank you so much. You guys did it. You guys knocked it out of the park on this one. You guys have such a huge job, and it's such an important job. We are huge fans of the work that you guys do, and we appreciate when you get it right. So thank you guys so much for coming on and talking about this, and thanks for keeping us safe.
You got it. Appreciate the time today.
All right, we're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. Guys, I can't believe it's the end of the show already. And you know what they say. At the end of our show, what do we always do? We save the very best for last. But before we get to that, I just want to say my thank yous. Thank you guys so much. First off, Matt, thank you. Great job tonight. Lisa, thank you so much. And to you, the listener, we sincerely appreciate you guys spending your time with us. We understand how valuable your time is, and we hope that you understand how much that we love having you here as a listener. We put a lot of effort into the show. I don't know if it always sounds like it, but we do. We put a lot of effort into the show, and we want you guys to know that it is our absolute number one goal. Every time we wake up in the morning, we start looking at news, We want to find things that are going to make you interested, that are going to make you laugh, and we want you to have fun here. Have fun here. It's going to be a good time on the show, we hope. And so we really thank you guys for tuning in and for giving us your support. You can check us out on Facebook and Instagram and all the different places you might find people. Also, be a friend. And if you get a chance, download the podcast, Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim. It's really simple. If you can spell the last name, extra points for you. All right, let's get to this. Dave Ross was talking on his show on Seattle's Morning News about a new rebate that a local lawmaker has proposed for the high gas prices. As we all know, gas is insane. It is so expensive. I think I paid for, what was gas the other morning? I paid like $5.15 for gas. It's just bleeding me dry. I don't know what to do. Anyway, so Dave Ross talked about a new proposal to get you some money back. And I found this to be pretty interesting. What do you guys think?
I see that State Representative April Connors of Kennewick has a bill for the next legislative session that would rebate some of the revenue from the state's carbon credit auctions back to drivers as kind of an apology for the effect of the carbon fees on gas prices. Her argument is that since those carbon fees are collecting way more revenue than expected, why not refund some of that money to drivers? So the bill would award every owner of a registered vehicle in Washington State a $100 annual rebate, maximum $200 per family. We'd get the check when we renew our tabs, which means a lot of the money would go right back to the state, but it would be a nice gesture. And what I like the best about it is that it could be the start of something I've wanted the state to do for a long time. Instead of always punishing people for bad behavior, reward them for good behavior. Now, that's not the purpose of this bill. I'm just thinking that if this rebate idea becomes popular, maybe it could be extended. If people like the idea of being reimbursed by the state for high prices of gas, why not also reward people who obey the speed limit when the freeways are wide open? Speed cameras are a fact of life now. Suppose that once a month, a DOT computer randomly chose a vehicle that obeyed the speed limit outside of rush hour and cut that person a check for $1,000. Little highway lotto. You could channel our competitive spirit in a way that makes driving safer and saves gas. You could then take the next step, add a little artificial intelligence to the network, and reward drivers who zipper merge properly, who slow down in construction zones as they should, who signal before changing lanes. And as those $1,000 checks for good behavior start appearing in your good-to-go account, I foresee an epidemic of civilized driving behavior that would more than pay for itself in fewer accidents, fewer delays, less gas consumption, lower insurance rates, and maybe even lower gas prices.
You know what? This is actually a really good idea for a lot of reasons. So I applaud Dave for thinking about it. But it also is scary to me for a lot of reasons, too. To implement everything he was just talking about, it would mean that they have to be essentially watching you at all times. Big brother. And I know that's a lot of people think that's really silly and they don't really care that the government is watching you at all times and seeing how fast you're driving and seeing, I mean, I guess insurance companies kind of do this now. A lot of them have these little transponders that they ask you to put in your car and they will give you a discount if you put these in your car, and they're like little safe driving discounts, I think. I think State Farm does that. I could be wrong about that. But yeah, it's like just a little dot you put in your car and it checks how fast you're going and it convert, you know, it talks to your phone somehow. I don't know how technology works. But I don't necessarily want the government stepping in and watching me at all times. I'm not breaking the law, but maybe I'm going 5 miles an hour over the speed limit. All of a sudden, I'm getting a ticket every single time that I've got a little bit over the speed limit, or maybe I haven't signaled properly, or maybe I haven't merged properly, or maybe this or that. I just think that this could be a really bad slippery slope. So, you know, yes, would it be nice to get a $20 bonus for driving safely, which I do. I'm a safe driver. It would. But I think I'd end up getting a lot more tickets for doing silly things that shouldn't be ticketed in the first place. So I'm going to say no on that one. But Dave, good idea. You know, just thinking outside the box. I appreciate that. All right. That's it for us, guys. We've come to the end of our night, but we've had another great time here. We're already working on a great show for tomorrow. I hope you get a chance to hang out with us, and we're going to be back here then. So have a great night. Thanks for listening to Cairo Nights. Good night, everybody.